great Sabbath morning, through the clear ringing bell, with songs so sweetly are calling, all come to the church on the
friends. The little country church of Hollywood and its neighbors greet and welcome you to its meeting. Many friends come here daily to sit amidst the flowers and commune with God and listen to the birds sing. You know, in times like these, it's nice to have a little spot where you can wander in God's garden and forget the worldly things for the moment. Brother Josiah and Sister Sarah Hopkins stopped by Lige Gupton's shoe shop on their way to meeting. It seems that the parson's sermon last Sunday done Lige a sight of good. But you all listen for yourselves. Lige is standing on the gallery in front of his shoe shop. Brother and Sister Hopkins are sitting in their buggy talking to Lige. Can you hear him?
No, now, Lige, I wouldn't go that fur. That is, I wouldn't say that I was plumb on selfish.
Well, you sure made an impress on me when you said Sunday, if you know something that'd help some poor soul, you ought to pass it on. I think that was the sum and substance of the talk.
Yes, that's right, Lige. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. And I told him as we was a-driving on home that I thought he'd made a right good talk.
Oh, you behave yourself there now, Dan. You stand still. Well, now, it was drove home to me by little Spud Bass. That's how come it, you see, when him and me was a-fishing down on the creek.
Yes, it sure helped us out, too.
Yes,
you mean about using crickets for bait to catch crappie fish?
Yeah, and it sure got me down, too.
Make him tell you how it come up, Lige.
I think you ought to tell me about it, Parson, because your sermon touched me enough to make me offer to put soles on shoes for anybody that's too poor to pay for them.
Yes, and that sure is a grand thing, Lige. Well, you won't lose by it, either.
Now, and the best thing is, Lige, it's the good that it'll be to you yourself, you see? That's a mistake that human people generally make. They think that they're helping the poor and the needy when they're doing kind things for them. But the truth is that they're helping themselves to be happy and enjoy life.
Well, but you ain't told me about you and Spud Wiggins, Parson.
Yeah, tell him about it, Josiah.
Well, behave yourself. You must get that. Well, tell you the truth, it just gets me sort of addled about it. And Dan is prancing around. It always gives me a sort of nervous perspiration. But what I started to say was, you see, me and Spud was down on the creek fishing for crappie fish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you all know I'm a champion crappie catcher now in these three counties.
Sure.
Oh, well, I am now. Ain't nobody
else. Right.
No. So Spud, he'd been a-begging me for the longest sort of time to take him out of crappie fishing. So we fished. Oh, and I caught seven beauties.
Certainly.
Yeah, big in my hand, any one of them. Poor little old Spud, he never even got a nibble. And just before we left the creek, he said sort of sad-like, Parson, please tell me how you do it.
Poor little fellow.
You ought to told him how to catch him, Parson.
Now, you all wait just a minute. Well, Dan, if you don't behave yourself, well. Well, so I says, Spud, I'm going to tell you the secret. That's what I said. I says, you've seen me always sort of hide back when I go to bait my hook. And he said he had. And then I told him, I said, just look there in my bait bucket. and he looked in and seed the crickets that I had in there. Well, sir, he begged me to give him one. I did, and you know one thing? His hook had no more and hit the water till he had a crappie as big as my hand.
Well,
yes, sir.
That was swell, but where did the sermon come in?
Don't leave that out.
Well, sir, that little old freckled-faced boy, that Bear Spud Wiggins, he sat there on that creek bank, and if he didn't preach me a sermon...
Well, what did he say, Parson?
Well, he said, Parson, I'm sort of disappointed in you. I says, how's that, Spud? And he went on to say, says, I thought you was always a-saying that anything that's good that you know, why you ought to pass it on to other people so as they could enjoy it. Well, so I tried to tell him that it was different, you see, when it comes to fish baits and things like that, but he couldn't catch my pint.
Tell Lige about Spud following you to church to see what you do.
Did he follow you,
Bob? Sure he did, yes, sir.
Yes, he followed him.
And you know what I done? I just up and told the whole house full of people how to catch crappie, and did Spud's face light up.
Yes, but Lige, the funniest thing was that might not everybody at church said they'd always use crickets for catching
crappie. That's what I always do, Sister
Sarah. Yeah, it sure was a lesson for me, holding that secret thought down my heart, you see, but it sure done me good to tell it out and help everybody.
Yeah, well, your talk sure done me a sight of good, too, Parson.
Just how we'd better be getting on to meeting. Listen, there's the bell.
Well, I'm a-preaching to Lige, ain't it? Honey, all the preaching ain't done that at the meeting house. Get up there, Dan. Well, goodbye, Lige.
Well, goodbye, Sister Sarah, Parson. I'm a-coming right on as soon as I shut up the shop.
All right, see you at church.
Yeah, I'm sure glad... Lige's going to help out the poor and the needy.
Yes.
Get up,
just I saw another good story in the almanac.
Oh, you did? What was it?
Well, a preacher invited the poor, especially to come to church.
Yeah.
He said the poor and needy was always welcome.
Uh-huh.
And then when they took up the collection, the poor old preacher sort of sighed and said, well, I invited the poor people, and I see they've all come.
Now, you slow up, Fat Dan Hopkins. Drag along this road here like nothing... Then start up just as soon as we get to where the bump's at. Ooh.
Oh, don't fuss at him, Josiah. He's glad to get to church.
And the mercy of the life has been my guide. Everything divine has come forth. Here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things.
Well, howdy, folks.
Howdy, Parson.
Well, we all had a good visit with Lige. You all heard about how he was touched by the sermon, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Told me to make the announcement right here at the meeting that anybody that was poor and needy and needed the shoes half-soled, why, he'd do it free of charge. That's what he said.
I think that's powerful.
Yeah, I didn't expect it of Lige, but, you know, you always run into the unexpected. And
sure do.
As I was telling him, the good you see you do to other people, it's got a sight of rubber in it. You know why? You see these little rubber balls, well, throw them out, you know, and they bounce back. Well, that's the way it is with doing good for others. It's awful good about bouncing right back at you. Well, there's a place where it'll all be beautiful and good, and there won't be no poor and needy. And I'll tell you, it's that place, that beautiful Isle of Somewhere. Can you all sing that?
Yeah.
Well, I sure love to hear it.
Somewhere the sun is shining, somewhere the songbirds dwell. Hush them, my sad repining. God lives and all is well. Somewhere, somewhere.
Salter's favor, it sure is pitching. Yeah, that's a place where the wrongs will all be right, and the burdens will all be put down, and the tears will all be dried. And you know that's the reason the Bible talks so much about trying to do something for somebody. Now, you take over there in Hebrews. I think it's in the 12th chapter and the 12th verse. That's a beautiful thought there. It says, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Well, now, I don't know about lifting up knees, you know. I lifted up a mule's hind leg once to see if he had a sore foot. I was laid up for alterations and repairs. Now, of course, you ought to be careful about what sort of knees. But I think what it means there is, you know, you hear people talk about weak-kneed people. Well, that's because they're just pressed down. That's what's the matter with them. They're overloaded. And the Bible says you ought to do something for people that's overloaded. You come up on the road and found a man that had a wagon broke down, why, you sure would be hard-hearted if you wouldn't stop there and sort of help him get on. Well, the Lord says do that for human people. And lift up the hands that kind of hang down. And strengthen the feeble knees. That's what it says there. Well, now, here's the thought I want to give you. So many people, you see, they go around doing kind things to others, and the only thought to God is they're helping the needy. Well, you're wrong. The biggest thing you're doing, you're helping yourself. Down in your own heart, you're making it tender. And you're guaranteeing your own peace of mind. Sarah's reading me a book the other day about a feller that went way off up there in that Greenland, you know, where all that ice is, Greenland. Yeah, ice there all the time, 50 below zero. And the people that live in there, they're Eskimos.
Eskimos, your son.
Well, I got it spelled. I wrote it out. It's well, whatever it is, there's people up there. And this man drove on out, and you see, they used dogs up there for horses. Well, he had a lot of extra meat, and he just said he'd put some to one side that some poor traveler might come by and need something to eat, put it there. You know, he got lost up there on them ice plains, and he didn't know where he was at, and just about the time he was starving to death, come up on their own food that he'd put there for somebody else and kept him from starving to death. Didn't I tell you? Do something for somebody else, it'll always come back to you. Time to say goodbye again. May the Lord help us all to think about the other folks that are traveling down the road of life with us. And whenever we can, let's stop and lend a hand. Goodbye, y'all.
Goodbye, everybody.